topic tonight is V'haftarecha Kamoicha, and just some fascinating different insights into the mitzvah V'haftarecha Kamoicha. So Torah gives us this mitzvah V'haftarecha Kamoicha, which at first glance is quite a challenging mitzvah. Even at the second glance, rather than being a challenging mitzvah, it may be challenging in a different way. Right? To love a person as yourself would seem to be very difficult, so we happen to have very strong love for ourselves. Right?
Cheers, here, man.
Yeah.
I was just setting the tables up there.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So the Torah says it, first of all, the Torah says it along a series of different thoughts. The Torah talks about the Isser of Geneva. The Torah talks about the Isser of being Nishma Lashek, which is in the context of using that to steal from somebody. And the Torah says, go straight from there into one of the most clearly in our minds, one of the clearly a chayk, right? Goes straight from the mitzvah of v'haftarecha k'mercha into klayim. Like every form of climb you could think of, it's there, you know. Like all three forms of climb are there. The Rambam learned like this, and in Hilchos Deos, and the Ramban learned like that over here also, that the flow of the pasuk is, so you look at the Ramban over here, on the first page, that the Ramban says, that's the first page. So, it wasn't the idea of this. We think in the context of giving a person Musar. Right? He says, no. He remember a concept like this. The person did something to you which you're not happy with. Don't hold it in. Ask him. Challenge him. Why did you do that? You're upset at him for what he did. Instead of keeping it in, he doesn't necessarily aware that you're upset about it. I felt very bad that you did that to me. Because when you discuss it with him, he's not saluka, he might give you an explanation. Oh, Yashavi is Vadal Khatov, he's Kapalah, or he might admit that he did something wrong. But this way, you'll remove this the animus which is between the two of you, because you'll have addressed it. If you keep it inside, so what's gonna happen is it's just gonna build up inside, you're never gonna address it, and then you're gonna end up with a real sin to him eventually. So even if you're not going to necessarily have this animus and hate him, but you might, remember it. It's going to irritate you. It's going to affect you. Move on. So Rambam learns like this. Rambam sees this as the primary pshat in the primary pshat of the Chichas HaMisecha is not giving Musar. And then he brings the second thread. He says that Chazal said that you have the concept of a person does something wrong, you should be machiyach. But the primary pshat is, don't hold it in. So Rav Olbers says a fascinating thing. He says, we have a problem when it comes to this. A lot of times, the things that bother us are minimal things. Right? And almost embarrassing that they bother us. Right? So we don't admit that it bothered me. But the mice, it bothered me. Right? So here we have, so what do you do? He says, It's beneath our dignity to admit that we are such lowly human beings that they get on our nerves. But the mice, they get on our nerves. Right? So it's not fair to the other person. So that, you're focusing on how embarrassing it is to you. But at the end of the day, you end up building up this animus to the other person. And eventually it blows up into something much bigger. So you got to get past it. You have two options. You could work on putting it in perspective. And from the perspective, you realize it is actually not so important. And therefore, you will truly be Meichem and Libra. The Ramana says, there's no issur of, you don't have to talk to him. You have another option. Just get it out of your heart. But you cannot maintain it. You're right. That's the hemshach. Was hizul avchet. You cannot maintain an argument against him of a complaint. So if you remove that, so you remove that. So you don't have a problem. You removed it. But that's your choice. That's how Rambam understands the mitzvah. Rambam Hillel's Deis. So he says that, or you have to man up and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm talking about a special that I am, and you know it bothers me. Dale Carnegie has this story in about a group of scientists who went down to Antarctica. I think I told you the story once. Right? This group of scientists go down to Antarctica. So Antarctica, how do you get there? There's no airstrip, right? You have to come by boat. Now, coming by boat, the port is not open. It's icebound most of the year. So there's a 2 or 3 month window where you can land the boat. You can bring a boat in over there. And when the expeditions would come, they come in, you know, then, and they stay there. Rabosai. They come in, and they're there for 10 months together. What do you do? What do you do? You can't keep them like. So it's took everything's underground. So you have these large cabins underground, which they built, and that's basically you're in these cabins with these people for 10 months straight. Good. So the fellow writes the story that he comes there, and you know, once in a while you go out for expeditions above ground, but the majority of the time you're basically doing work underground. So he sits down by breakfast the first day, and the fellow across from him is, you know, this his field is whatever's nutrition, and he's very big into the portents that a person has to, the saliva, the enzymes in the saliva are very important for digestion, otherwise the body's not going to be healthy. He chews every morsel of food, according to his research, 42 times before he swallows it. So Bob is sitting over here, and you know John's across from him, and John chews every bite 42 times. So it gets on his nerves a little bit. Okay. But you know, you're not going to say that bothers you. What are you? Why is it bothering you that somebody's chewing his food? You know, you're not going to say that. So you don't say anything. Good. Then he goes to lunchtime, the same thing, and they have assigned seats. So he says, his alma mater, you know? And then supper. So the fellow writes that at the end of the 10 months, it took every ounce of his self-control not to commit murder. That's what he writes. Right? It just started just driving him bad. Right? But what it would have been if he would have manned up the first time? You know what? You know, so listen, John, you know what? I'm talking a really bad guy, and I apologize. It really gets on my nerves. So I look like a lowlife. But they wouldn't have this animus with him walking around for 10 months. So in marriage, you have this all the time. You know, there's this horrible rabbi joke about this couple comes to the rabbi. They want to get a get. So rabbi says, our procedure is we first try and see if we can save the marriage. You know, just as a rabbi, it's not relevant. You can't. You know, it's nothing. It's over. He says, listen, we have to try. He says, rabbi, I'm telling you, it's all over. He says, we have to try. Okay, what is the issue? He says, what is the issue? He says, the issue is very simple. The issue is that I'm a roller and she's a squeezer. Said, what are you talking about? What? Rollers and squeezers? He says, Rabbi, there's two ways to roll a tube of toothpaste. You can either roll it up nice and neat, or you can squeeze it and make this horrible mess. I can't deal with it! Right? That's the job. Right? Now, it's a horrible job because I've dealt with things. People come to me sometimes and tell me, it sounds about the same level of significance as rollers and squeezers. You know, what's up, shot? It's very simple. You take a little scratch, a scratch like this. Does it hurt? No, it doesn't hurt. Imagine you do it, the guy does it to you 1,000 times. It's going to be a festering wound. Right? So, you clean a kite or not clean a kite. So, Terrence says, but the answer is you can decide that it's a clean a kite. You can decide it's nothing. Rabbi Fran has a Gewaldig story. He says over, it's a very sad story, but a very powerful story. I don't mean Gewaldig, a powerful story about this couple. And the husband was a very type A personality, go-getter. And the wife is this real laid back, chill out, not that little world, nothing phases her, right? And there's many times, she wouldn't get things done, the husband would get all upset, why didn't get it done, and she would say, Zelo Chashuv, it's not so important. Like, why are you getting so upset? Chill out, it's not so important, Zelo Chashuv. That was the big catch line that used to drive him bad. The Zelo Chashuv used to drive him crazy, because, what do you mean, good. Fine. So, they live in New York, so in New York, a lot of people in the summer, the families go up to the mountains, and the husband works in the city, and comes up for the weekends. Good. So So he comes up for the weekend, one weekend, he comes up for the weekend, and he sees that the wife left her purse hanging on the baby's crib. So it's a muksa problem, and Shabbos, you know, so he got all upset, how could you leave the, she says, listen, you know, it's a good point, but you don't have to react like that. It's not that important, you have to react like that. Good. Sunday evening, he goes back to the city. Tuesday, Wednesday, the middle of the week, he gets a call. His wife was expecting. There's been complications in the surgery. She's been rushed to the local hospital. Come immediately. So he drives up. By the time he arrives, his wife passes away. Okay, takes sealed arrangements. He goes back to the bungalow, and the purse is still hanging on the crib. He pulls out the checkbook and he writes the check to cover the funeral. He says, you know what? She was right. Yitzhak wasn't so important. That's the story. You know, our problem is perspective. You know, we have to put it in perspective. You know, it seems to be like, you know, it's really not significant, but in our, unless we have perspective, it seems to be like it's important. So maybe it bothers us. You put it in perspective. I've tried a little bit different angle sometimes, you know, at different times. Something gets on my nerves. I said, listen, you know, after 120 years, you're going to come to Ezen Shem Ma'ala, you're walking over there, and they say, listen, you had a chiyuv, the Rama says, you mechabed your wife, yosir migufka. You did this to your wife, like, you know, can you explain it, please? He says, well, you know, she squeezed the toothpaste.
Excuse me?
She squeezed the toothpaste, right? So, you know, so the Ezen Shem Ma'ala is going to laugh me out of the Bezdin. Like, you have a chiyuv, you know, Farish Paskin Allah, and mechabed your wife, and you give me this answer. So I picture the Bezdin laughing. And you know, it's great perspective. I'm not going to get upset about this thing. It's just not going to happen. It's just, you know, from that perspective, you can't be upset about it. You know, it's a question of perspective. It's really, really, you know, and then if you can really move on, you know, it's just not important. It's actually not important. It's really, I really believe it's Mu'una Shleima. So that's an option. But if it really bothers you, you're just saying, because, you know, that's what you're supposed to say on the script. No, it doesn't bother me. But it really does. You're not doing anybody a favor. It's not fair. Right, so then eventually it blows up, and then you're like, you know, then the other person's like, "Why are you reacting? So overreacting? Just like what I just want, you know?" No, it's you know, like you know, it's you know, they have this book about the managing. You know, one of the biggest complaints they have against managers is they don't give feedback. Negative feedback is uncomfortable. So what they do, they build up and finally get so upset the guy. They think they fire him. You know, I would prefer that you would have told me the negative feedback, so I wouldn't lose my job. Yeah, because it's uncomfortable. You, it's different because it's uncomfortable. You to say it to me, Samela, and you want me to look like a nice guy. Samela, I lose my job. Real test. Beautiful, right? So Zok the Ramban, that's a mitzvah in the Torah of Hechayta Chesamisecha. You got you got to either move on. Okay, so that's the first step. Okay, and if you look at the Chizkuni says the same approach. That's pshat in this possible. So you ask him, maybe he'll explain to you why he did it. It wasn't true, even, or it wasn't what his intent was, or he'll correct it. There's so many things which, if you would address it, and obviously, you know, you address it in an intelligent way. You know, you come with the fellow guns blazing, that's not going to be effective. You know, it seemed to me that something was, you know, I realized how bad, you know, how much it affected me, you know, having a very sensitive guy, you know, it affected me a lot. Oh, I didn't realize, I apologize, you know. That's the normal, if you do it in a very, with the vast majority of people, the response will be very positive. Okay, and then the pasuk continues and says, now, it's interesting that the pasuk ends off with an Yasha, right? So, Ani Hashem makes sense. Eschukas Haytishmaru, Hemtol Shabir Kolayim. Listen, why? Doesn't make any sense. Well, Ani Hashem, right? It says, you know, Loisikim Loisikim the Be'amecha. Ani Hashem. What's the message over there? Now, what is this mitzvah of? Let's see a few things over here. So, the language of the pasuk is difficult. What's a v'hafta l'reicha k'meicha? Translate that. You should love to your neighbor. That sense doesn't make any sense. V'hafta l'reicha, v'hafta esreicha. You should love esreicha. I mean, you should love your rea, your compatriot, like yourself. That was what es. That would be esreicha. V'hafta esager. Love the ger. So you love the person. What's v'hafta l'reicha? So the Ibn Ezra says v'hafta reicha. Adas Rabim Shalamad Noisib. So many people explain that the pshat over here is that the lamed is an extra lamed. Kilamed, it says la'avner, which over there in that pasuk, it doesn't mean two, it means avner. As if there's no lamed over there. Okay, so you find such a thing. They, it says, the pasuk over there says, Hargu, they killed la'avner. They don't kill two avner, they killed avner. Right? So, Valdaiti, Shu'u, Kimashmo, Shi'ev, Hatzayv, Lechaber, Kimar, Lenafshay. So the Ibn Ezra says, we'll see, the Ramban says it even more clearly, that the command is to love to him, to love for him. It's not to love him.
To show love to him?
So he says, Sheva Taib Lechaber commercial and option. I should want good for another person like I want for myself. And that's the Ramban's pshat. Okay, let's see the Ramban. The Ramban is on the next page. Okay. Okay, such a little patience for, I guess, the first page that starts with the last line. Okay. Where is it? No, okay, fine. Bachri Kane, it says, you is a flaw. It's some element of the first glance is some element of an exaggeration. The human being's heart will not accept that. And the law is actually you take precedence over somebody else. Halachically, you can never come to the state where you love him as much as you love yourself. Okay. Like the Ibn Ezra says, you should want good for your friend as much as you want for yourself. We compare the two of them in the word lireacha, not esreacha. I want the concern and the care should be equal. I would like that you should be as smart as me. I'd be very happy to be as smart as me. I would like you. I'd like to help you become as smart as me. Fine. But I'd prefer if you didn't become as rich as me. No, I prefer not. Okay, and even if I would like you should have Osher and Chachma, etc. But Yachma, she is Kareyo, Ha'ovloi, Ba'osher, and Chosim, and Kovit. But I would like in some way to be better. I don't want you to be better than me, because I'd be jealous. So I want, so we both made nice shaduchim and we both, got nice jobs and we both have nice cars and nice houses and we both, say shurim and, but in the mice, I have better kids than you. So some way I'm better than you. That's what people want. So that the pasuk, "Aviyev chavetz v'liba yadam shiyu who yarsim mena b'chol taiva mitzava kasa shaloi tia pachisas akina azayis b'liba." No, that's jealousy, and that's a lowliness. And the pasuk says, "Get it out of you." Aviyev revoisa taiva lechaver kasher adam oisa lenafshay v'lo just like you do for yourself. I'm very happy that you should be better than me. I would like to suggest that the Ani Hashem is the following in this. Now, how do you do that? So the answer is, if I define myself by how the world perceives me, it's impossible. Because if they're going to perceive him better than me, I can't live with that. Because because the human being, Rabbi Chaskel Levinstein said that every person needs a spoonful of kavod every day. He needs a spoonful of kavod every day. What does the word kavod mean? We touched on this before. The first says the word kavod comes the word kaved. It's weight. So he says that the truth is that there's a difference between weight and mass, right? Good science, right? What's the difference between weight and mass, right? Mass is the actual item which is there, right? The matter which is there, and weight is the act of gravity on the mass. So when we measure something by weight, we're discussing the impact between gravity and the item. The mass, you're discussing the item itself. It says kavod is the weightiness, the gravitas. We use all those words. Those are the English words you use for that. it's recognizing the significance which is there. It's always by definition interaction. I need to recognize the weightiness of this item. So a person needs to know that they're valuable. If a person would truly have zero feeling of that, he would take the next plane off the earth. Like, what am I here for? What am I here for? I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. So what am I here for? So the answer is, you're somebody. You're a very important person. Oh, so I want to be here. All right, so who tells me I'm an important person? Well, my friends say that I'm an important person. Oh, so I get my cover from other people. Bad source. Who says you get COVID? Okay, Hashem says you get COVID. The Russian created you. He doesn't make mistakes. He had a good reason why he made you. He made you with all of your limitations and all of your frustrations and all of your problems and all of your who knows what. He made you like that. And he thinks you're important. So that's where you get COVID. I remember, there's a book, you remember there's a book, Sabota, ever read it? Sabota, yeah? Ever read it? Sabota is about a person was a Russian dissident who was put, because in their mind he was dissident, he kept Torah mitzvahs. He was put into the Russian gulag system. He kept Shabbos the whole time he was there for 20 years. And they would, of course, try and force him to, and he went, they put him into, and the book is excruciating to read. He eventually made it to Yerushalayim, and he lived in Yerushalayim. Rebaron actually knew him.
Yeah. Wow.
His body was, was clearly had. They'd bring him. He would describe. He went into prison X, and he would refuse to work on Shabbos. And they put him into. They would do this to him and that to him, this and that and that to him. They would try and break him. Eventually, they said they couldn't break him. They would send him to the next prison, and start the process over again. And they did this for 20 years. So here's a person who's despised, ignored. Nobody had anything about him. So how did he live? Because the Russian defines his life, not human beings. There's a story in the book, Go My Son. You ever read the book, Go My Son, by Reb Chaim Shapiro? So Reb Chaim Shapiro, Zichrono Lebracha, he had lived in Baltimore, passed away a few years ago. Reb Chaim Shapiro was a Talmud in Lamja Yeshiva. His family was, was very close to the Yeshiva. His family, he was from Tikton, so a very Chashuva city. And his father was one of the was a big gevir, but he was also a Talmud Chacham. Zeta and the Volosh, and the war, before the war broke out, the mother, basically there was a question whether to go or stay. The family couldn't go. There's, reasons why the family wasn't able to leave. But she said, go, my son. That was the beginning of the story. I want you to go. And he survived and they were killed. He writes, this is in 39, because Poland got hit the beginning of the war. So he writes his stories of his travels. He was in Siberia. He was in Kazakhstan. He was in Mongolia. He was a Russian colonel in a tank. Everything he was in each part of the story. The stories, for the most part, some of them are very sad. Some of them are funny. Some of them are wild. I tell you the story about the time he was in Outer Mongolia, got attacked for helping somebody. Right? I tell you that story. Okay, different time. Anyway, he has a story over there. He has a story over there. That he is in Siberia in a labor camp, and he's able to work his way up to, he's given the position that he delivers messages. So he rides a horse from camp to camp and he delivers messages back and forth. So there's no malachas, the rice is involved in it because it's riding a horse. It's not a tzor. There's no rishos rabbis around there. It's rishos yochids of the camps, but rishos rabbis, you go out into the roads. The roads were dirt paths. He had a tefillin with him. Okay, so he comes in, one time he comes into the camp at Shabbos, he's riding on his horse, delivering what he has to do, because this is always going to be, doesn't deliver, he gets killed. So. And he hears a person, off to the side, there's like a grove of trees, like a very thick grove of trees, he hears Shabbos mirrors. He says, Gevaltnot, who's singing Shabbos mirrors over here? So he ties the horse, and he goes, and he sees a person over there, his hair like this, hair down to his stomach. Looks like a nozer, hair down the stomach, big beard, like, it looks like a mishugana. Singing the Shabbos mirrors. The fellow immediately quiet. She starts talking to him, nothing, doesn't respond. Yiddish, nothing. he realized that he doesn't trust him. He's wearing it. Finally, he shows him his tefillin. The fellow bursts out crying. He says, "You know, the master of the world." He says, "I've been here like 14 years, and I don't have tefillin. And finally, you bring me tefillin. It's Shabbos." You know, he says, "Where are you?" He says to Rechaim Shabbos, "says where were you?" He says, "Here." He says, "The next camp." He says, "I'm coming." He says, "You'll get shot for leaving." He says, "I am coming." The next morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, he feels somebody pawing at him. The fellow came. How he got out, how he walked, how he got, he doesn't know. So he starts, they became, you know, while he was there, he made a kesher with him. He said that he recognized the Russians have the superstitions about mashuganas. They don't chepper with mashuganas. So he made himself into, look like a mashugan. He acts like a mashugan. Nobody talks to him. He's able to keep all the mitzvahs, whatever is available. So this person lived with no human interaction for 14 years. Because there's a Bar Yolam of a Veld. Now, in the book, he says, you know, for giving him the tefillin, he says, I'm going to pay you for teaching. I'm going to teach you a song. A song is a Yiddish song. And the song is about, in Kabbalah, the Shekhinah is referred to is Ein. So in the Yiddish song, the Mama is referring to something to the Shekhinah. So there's the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, El Guinness Ego Girardity. I went down to the Guinness Eggers to the garden where they had the nuts. Liros Vibe Anochel, to see whether the flowers by the river. Haparcha Geben Hanitzo Harimanim. Whether they have started to blossom. Lo Yadati. Now the pasuk says Lo Yadati Nafshi Samasti. But in the song it says Lo Yadati Nafshi. I never knew what my heart is. I never knew what my nafshi is. That's how they. That then it continues. It says the Mama Hat Mir Geshikt. The Shekhinah set me here. Nisalach Saklaim, to gather nuts. V'hoich is the boim, how high is the tree? V'nidruch zav nemenshin, the kindalach, how small are the children? Lo yadati nafshi, I didn't know what my nafish could do. So he said that he was talking about himself. Look what a person did. Because his covet wasn't from other people. He defined himself, his value was not defined on somebody else. The song was talking about the person himself. So we have the Motzi Yom Kippur suit over here, but the Baron, we sing that song.
Wow.
Right? So we have, you know, we have the Niggun, so we sing the song. It's a very, you know, first of all, he explained the story, and then, you know, then you give him the words and explain the background and means, and then we sing the song. You know, we lights out, and the Motzi Yom Kippur, we have a suit of, you know. So that's one of the songs. You know, we don't know what a human being is. So don't define yourself by somebody else. I'm getting way off topic over here. There's a lot of pages left on the packet. I just want to tell you a vort over here based on this Rabban. So we'll see the next piece of Rekiva says, Zakal Gadol B'Torah, like Rashi quotes, this is the Kal Gadol B'Torah. So what does that mean, Kol Gadol B'Torah, etc.? What it means, this is Kol Gadol B'Torah. So the Yarker asks a kasha. Versteh, I don't understand. The Gemara in Makis says like this. Darash Rabbi Simlai, said there's Tariq Mitzvahs. Okay? Tariq Mitzvahs, that and we calculate why the Tariq Mitzvahs, the Tariq Tziv Alonu, Tariq Gematria was 611, and Reichel Liyah Lachal, Baruch Hashem said directly, so Tariq Tziv Alonu, Moshe. Right? Moshe taught us 611. And the Russian said, "America, you call it 613." Okay. Mar says, "Bought David b'midal yodav." So in Mizmor and Kapitel Tesvav in Tillim, so David says a list over there of things that a person should be careful about. So Chazal said the Pshat of David was saying, if you keep these 11 different things, you'll have a handle on all 613. Bought Yeshaya b'midal sheish. Bought Micha b'midal gimel.
It comes to one. Why isn't it this one?
And the final one is the more it says Sadek Mimin Osin Yichya, Bachavaka Mimin Alachas Sadek Mimin Osin Yichya. So, Fred the Kli Yoker Which one is it? That's Kliyarka's kash. So Yarkas has a very shver teretz. He says, very simple. Tzadimon Asayichya is the Klal Gadol for all the mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Makom. V'Hathorecha Gemarcha is the Klal Gadol for all the mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chaveira. Right? It doesn't work in the Gemara. The verse says there are 613, which is both. Comes David and distills it into 11. And the Pesukim over there have some Bein Adam L'Makom and L'Chaveira. Six, right? Micha, right? One of the three, right? Asayis Mishpat, Avas Ketzel, Stein Alechiz, and Alekecha. So, one means everything came down to one, not only the mitzvah on the market. So, share teretz. I don't know pshat and kliyak. I don't understand. Zog, I think there's a very simple teretz. I mean, it's not a simple teretz, but it's a teretz. Right? Sarah Ben Asa Yechia, the Goyin says, it's not referring to one, it's referring to Pitachim. Sarah Ben Asa Yechia means that a person lives with the moon. That the Muna is so real to him that he lives with the Muna. The person who lives with the Muna is Batuach. He's secure. He's comfortable. He's safe. He's not worried because the Brashim is real. He says, so the Gaon says in Mishlei, I did this piece with you guys, in the Sukkah, yeah. Right? The Gaon says in Mishlei that the whole purpose of the whole Torah is to get happy talking. Bitachon is when a human being lives with his Creator being real to him. So all the mitzvahs are to generate to take the counsel of the Kadosh Baruch Hu from our minds into our hearts. The Baruch Hu is real. So if he's real, there's certain things I can do, things I can't do. I'm living with him. But I know the Baruch Hu is real, but also the Baruch Hu cares about me. The Baruch Hu loves me. The Baruch Hu is aware. The Baruch Hu takes care. All the mitzvahs of Emunah we spoke about are all, if all of those, if they're real to me, like, what am I worried about? Right? It's Greyhound. Leave the right driving dogs. Right? Right, you get into the car with somebody, that means, what do you get in the car with, car, I get in the car with somebody means I trust them. Because I wouldn't get in the car but there's trust and there's trust, right? There's the trust of, you get in the car, and I'm so comfortable with what the guy, you know, the guy's driving, and he knows where he's going, and he drives so well, and everything. I go to sleep. And then there's the guy who gets in the car, and he's, you know, busy, you know, worrying around the floorboards, you know, like, you know, wishing he had a brake. You know, all this feedback, you know, so thank you very much. You know, so don't get the car with me, right? So the goal is to have, we get onto the bus, and we look up, and we don't see any driver. So you get your freak out. There's a driver. He's in control. He's the boss. He's there. That's the mitzvah of, the purpose of the whole Torah is bitachon. So the goal, where do you find that in the Torah? He says, because of the Seres HaDibris, we know that a misper of 10 is a misper which is kerel, includes everything. And the last one, the Seres HaDibris, is loisachmoid. And loisachmoid is kerel everything. And loisachmoid means don't have, the loisachmoid is the opposite of bitachon. So a person who's becoming loisachmoid has bitachon. So the Gaon says. He brings Ruchaim Bital, says, so then on the bottom, the Ruchaim Bital says the same thing. That Lois Achmed is the mitzvah which concludes all of the Seres HaDibros. So what's the pshat? How does Lois Achmed include all the Seres HaDibros? Because Anoch Hashem Elokecha is the Yediyah. I know the Breshem is the. If I really know it, so it means I'm living in the most wonderful reality which exists. I'm living in the Breshem's land. So. You know what? Somebody else has more, like, who cares? I'm so happy where I am. I'm so comfortable where I am. I'm so taken care of where I am. A child in his mother's lap is like, you know, like, look at that kid. He has a better stroller. Like, you know, it's just not important. He's so content where he is because he's in the most wonderful place in the world called his mother's arms. That, you know what? Zunt hate. So top and out thing. Best for me. Who cares? That's what means Anoch Hashem Elokecha. If it's real, that's losach. Losach means it's posh, real to you to the point that posh, that you know you're so happy where you are and so content where you are and so safe where you are, secure where you are, right? That everything else is like, you know, no problem. Zot the Ramban, the mitzvah of Hatorich Kamerich is not to have b'chisa zakina, not to have. This is the mitzvah say of losach. So Sadma Sayyichya and Bahtar Khabak are the same mitzvah. So I think that would answer the current that I would answer the Kiyarka's kasha. Okay.
See, you need the Ani Hashem.
Then the Ani Hashem, right. When I live with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, Ani Hashem, Pasha Ramamish with it. So then, Zut hate. You see, I don't necessarily love you, but I want for you, you should become the richest person in the world. Pasha, everything. I'm so happy for you, because I'm so happy where I am. I think it's Pshat.
How does it fit in the words? How do you translate after we have according to Ramban?
It's again, L'Re'echa means you should have a love to do for your friends as much as you would like to be done for yourself. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to skip the Malbim. The Malbim is gorgeous, but there is no time. There's a fascinating piece over here from the Sava Kabbalah. Okay. Sava Kabbalah B'Halter Kamarcha brings over here like this. There's a Sefer called Sefer Abris. Sefer Abris, one point in time we have to look at it a little bit. Sefer Abris is the most fascinating, strange Sefer you've ever seen. It was written by this Rav, in Vilna. He lived in the 10 times Vilna Garden. His name is Pinchas Elio Horowitz. He wrote a Sefer called Sefer Abris. It's basically, he puts together the science about the world and about animals and about vegetables and, everything, plants and all of the thing, Kabbalah and Mussar. And he has, really heavy Mussar sometimes, and he has some, weird, pieces. So he has a piece on Avos Reyim, which is about 45 pages long. He holds that the Baal Derech HaMelech applies to Goyim also. And he spent 20 pages on that, proving it applies to the Goyim also, uses the word Reya and not the word Achicha. Now the problem is, Reyecha was because Aldemar Darshan's Reyecha was Reyecha B'mitzvahs. It's a really interesting Sefer, right? But he says the following piece. So then he became a Kabbalah, people accepted him. The Tzama Kabbalah quotes him, he was well accepted in his his time, Okay. So he said like this. Okay. Stop and think what you would like to get from your friends, the people that you care about. What would you like to get from them? What's realistic? What's not realistic? Right? So you say, my friends love me. They should be giving me $1 million. No, it's not true. But they're millionaires. I'm never expecting that you give me $1 million. I never expect that. What do I expect from them? Right. Reuven writes to Shimon, Ahuvai, she's not Gimboy, Ka'oyev, and then Bechol the Worm. Reuven would like Shimon, should act with him in certain ways. So he said, what would I like Shimon to do for me? She says, let's go through the list. 9 things. She ever said, but MS will be here. It shouldn't be false. I don't need a guy pretending he loves me and he doesn't love me. He's not going to be covered, Tom, and he should be respectful. She either Shlomi Tommy, he should try and make sure that I'm safe, and I'm in a good situation. That friends would want to do it for each other. You should start to be sorry if I'm in a situation of sorry. He should empathize. She comes to be safe from the office. She'd greet me nicely. She don't see the chav schools before there. I would like him to judge me favorably. She's now the gufa be'ezatircha ketana b'shili. He should help me out. I need help sometimes, not major things. I'm not expecting that he should, quit his job and come take care of me, but, ask him a favor on a Sunday afternoon. He should come by. I need to, do something in the house. I need some help. I would like him to come for me. She's not a Vashili, but double mu'at, the reminder of the problem. Sometimes lend me money, I need a little help. I'm not asking for, $50. I need a loan. You might give me, I need it for the next 3 days. I would like a friend would do something like that for me. And Shalia Skoyal, I don't have to be walking around being Mikhail Gaivitzim. So that's what Reuven would like from Shimon. So you know what? Is that the pasuk to do it for Shimon? I will ask him a sikhla Shimon Yitala call my mind shaloy. I never had a half me in the Shimon, she gave me all of his money. So Yitzhak Reuven Nimai. Well, yeah, I never expected it. I don't want it. Kidasal Yisuz ever say hello, Yachayev came. Okay, and that's the mitzvah of So if you've done what you would like to get for yourself, to him, you fulfilled mitzvah haftarecha kamoicha. Okay? But it doesn't mean I have to give away kamamoinoi. So you understand that Chazal say that chiecha kaidman. That's not a steer to this. Just what you would like from him, that's what you should do for him. So that's what kamoicha means, he teaches. The interesting connection of the word kamoicha. Beautiful pshat.
You mekayim the mitzvah with any one of these, or you have to do all of them?
All of them. You say the point is, what I would like to get from a true friend is these type of things. A person who truly cares about me, this is what I would expect. If he doesn't, I would feel hurt. And I says, listen, you know, Shimon says to Reuben, listen, you know, I like you a lot, but, you know, I can't lend you any money. And I don't have time for you. And, you know, like, and by the way, you know, I'm really better than you. Like, you know, but I do the other five. That would undermine the whole lava.
But potentially, if you don't require those other ones, right? Kamocha. So, like, let's say I'm okay with you thinking you're better than me, and then I think I'm better than you. I mean, would that?
No, I don't think so. But since the standard.
So he's holding us like this is the standard.
The standard way that we expect from Avos Reyim would be that. Yeah, you have some people have very thick skin and couldn't care less what anybody thinks about them, you know. But it's not. But even that's true. They're not close friends. You're not going to say this person really loves me. You know, I get along. I'm very happy with her. Very friendly, you know, etc. But I'm not going to be sharing all my deep, you know, deep issues with him because like he doesn't really care about me.
Right.
You know, this is the definition of that somebody cares about somebody else in a true way. That's what he suggests. Okay, so now, the Bechor Shor, which is one of the Balei Tosis, lived in the 1200s. Some say actually that some suggest that the Rebbe Yosef Miralines was the Rebbe Yosef Bechor Shor. It was the same person. It's a question of the same person or not. Tosis quotes from the Rebbe Miralines. Rabbi Lachadosh Baruch Hu. As far as I'm concerned, I have two sons. Right? Imagine a father has two sons. You know, the sons get into a fight. Father says, listen, I understand you're upset at him, but you love me, and I love both of you, and I would like you to help him. But I hate him. He says, yeah, but I would like to believe that your love for me is stronger than your hate for him. And therefore, even though you hate him, because of my love, you're going to do. So, Dr. Bershom, I want you to understand that all of you are my children. So therefore, because of Ani Hashem, and you love me, I want it to overpower your feelings towards him. Okay, Mitoka Yobo Shalom Enechem. My Abba that you have for me, the Abba you have for me should be so strong that it should push it, remove the sin. That's how he touches it. Okay, you can't get out without a piece from Hirsch. You know, I'm sorry, it just doesn't go. So he also uses the point. Doesn't say b'hafta es reyachot. Says b'hafta reyachot. That approach that the Rabban says. What it does say here is doesn't say that you should have this avos nefesh, which you know you have a David and a Yonason. Right? That's a very seldom to be found. It's never impossible, but you know it's very very rare. It does say b'hafta reyachot. It's not the person himself, but everything that pertains to this person, the conditions of his life, the weal and the woe, which make up his position in the world. So this, we have to give our love as if it was our own. We have to rejoice in his good fortune, grieve over his misfortune as if it was our own. Desist that everything that furthers his well-being and happiness as if it were working for ourselves. We keep trouble away from him as assiduously as it would be threatened ourselves. This is something which does lie within our possibilities. We describe even though sometimes somebody whose personality may be actually highly antipathetic to us. For the demand of his love is something that which lies quite outside the sphere of the personality of our neighbor. It's not based on any of his qualities. Ani Hashem is the given for the motive for this demand. And he's going to say later on, that's why the next pasuk is Klayim. Klayim is a chayk. What I'm asking you to love him has nothing to do with whether you like him or not. It's not a bit illogical, but on the chaver. That's not what we're discussing over here. This is the world that I made. This is how I would like it to function. I would like the behemoths should go like this and like this, and you guys should get along with each other. But you don't like it. I don't care what you like, what you want. I said no. I said yes. Right? Then he said like this. Now he says, is something accepted from us towards all our fellow men in the name of God, who has given all men the mutual calling of Regim. Everyone is to find and recognize everybody else his mirah, his passage of life. So the word mirah, the word reya, what does the word reya mean? What's the root of it? It's lashon of a reya. It's a mirah. It's a pasture. So what does it mean? You're going to be going through a passage of life. That's where you're rowing. That's your mirror. That's your pasture. That's where you're going to function in. The furthering of his own well-being, the conditions for his own happiness in life. The Bereshit had this tremendous ability to put me together with these people. He didn't have to make me with this person. So the Bereshit put me together with this guy who really gets under my nerves, under my skin. Why? Because that's the passageway that I need to go through. If I didn't do it, he wouldn't be there. The Russian would have put that guy, in China. Why is he here? My next door neighbor. Right? Because I need to deal with this. Right? Nobody may look on the progress of another as a hindrance to his own progress. And then the next step is, well, if he's getting ahead, it's affecting me. What does that mean? He's hindering you. The Russian put him there. Look on the downfall of another person as a means for his own rising. Nobody rejoices his own progress if it's at the expense of his neighbors. So, like, these aren't options. The spiritual and morally perfect man only loves his own well-being as serving the same purpose as that of his neighbor. His own self-love, too, is his only consciousness of duty. Why do I love myself? He sees himself a creation of Hashem, entrusted to him to attain the bodily, mentally, and moral perfection which Hashem has designed for him, and put him into this world. That's why I'm here. So, if that's true, if I can get to that Madrega, so I can do the same thing for you. You also are here because the divine presence put you here for a reason. So am I more important than you? Right? So that's quite a Madrega. So that's over there. I was a welcome, I was a breeze. Now, he says in the next paragraph, which a fascinating thing. You know, some of Chazal's usages of Ahavterecha Kamayecha. So he gives two examples. One of them is the halacha that a man together with a woman, he shouldn't be in a way which in some way is going to diminish his love for her. Because you wouldn't want that to happen to you. Don't do it to her. Another example, the Mor says that when you kill somebody, we have persons kind of Mrs. Besdin, it has to be done in a merciful way. Like the Russia was being killed. Right? And you could pick to do it in a difficult, painful way, or a merciful, pain, less painful way.
Ah,
there's
Dachi Noah.
The more it comes out, we have to rechel kamoicha.
Wow.
Right? So, a fascinating thing, right? That every person, no matter what, every situation is, there's some way that I have to look at as the creation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu with a purpose, and I have to relate to that with the proper Derech Eretz. Okay, now he moves to the next piece over here, which is Hillel. Morris says that the Ger came to Hillel and he wanted to know Kol Tarkula Regalachas. So he said, "My Doloch son of the Chavruch Lusavid." That's the whole Torah. V'Idach Perusha Zilu Gemar. Everything else is just explaining that. So he says, it's interesting over here. It says in the negative. Don't say in the positive. And it says, "My son of the Chavruch Al Tavid." Don't do to your chaver. Okay? And he says, what do you mean, Idach Perusha? How is the rest of the Torah just a purish to that? So, the conception of a chavercha extends the idea beyond the narrow confines of your fellow man, the idea of fellow creatures. So, the fact that the sentence does contain the concept of the whole Torah, which is nothing else but the teaching of avoiding everything which is contrary and hateful to the happiness of well-being of ourselves and to that of the fellow creatures who enjoy existence down here in this world. So it refers to the fascinating piece in Charev, which he develops in Charev to some extent. That there's a fascinating sefer that's put out by Rabbi Carmel. Rabbi Carmel was one of the main talmidim of Rabbi Dessler, as you know, the Mitzvah Milyo was the first volume, he was one of the three contributors, and the other volumes he was the one who put it out. So he's all of Dessler's writings, all five volumes, Rabbi Carmel put out. He also put out a sefer called Master Plan. The name of the English book called Master Plan, and it's a what he calls a updated version of Rav Hirsch's Charev to talk to modern man, you know, modern examples, etc. But what he does is the following. We discussed this once, I think, I can't remember anymore. If I'd ask you what mitzvah, you know, but don't tell me chazals, what mitzvah you would perceive as being the mitzvah which everything else pivots on, so probably say emunah, right? Something of that sort. More says emunah, probably say emunah. He says, it's Baltashkes. Baltashkes. Why Baltashkes? So he says like this. There's a Gemara in the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says that a Kareb Begadim Chamos, a person who rips up clothing in his anger, you can consider him like he's Avodah Zarah. Why is Avodah Zarah? He's angry. He gets very angry. He says, because that's the approach of the Yetzirah. Today he tells you to do this, tomorrow he tells you to do that. Next thing he does, do a vodazar, you go and you do a vodazar. That's the Gemara. She said, what does that mean? You know. So the Gemara could have said, you know, the Yetzirah tells you to eat, you know, don't check your lettuce. You know, eventually he'll tell you to do vodazar. Like, there has to be some type of connection between Kriya Badam and Chumasa to vodazar. What's the option? He says like this. All right? Let's say I borrow an item of clothing. So a person of shell can use the item for anything he wants. One thing he can't do, he can't destroy it. Only the owner has the right to destroy something. Person comes and takes a garment and destroys it. What's he saying? It's my garment. No, it's not. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu's garment, which he lent to you to use for a valid purpose. So you think that there's another being exists over here who has rights over the world. That's, you're on your way to Bodhisattva already. No more you've been doing Bodhisattva already. So the mitzvah Baltashkes is the mitzvah which tells you the world's not yours, my friend. It's Russian's world. You're put here as a guest to use the world properly. So everything, all of the mitzvahs Carmel develops are the human being recognizing his responsibility vis-a-vis the different parts of the world, vis-a-vis another person, vis-a-vis himself, vis-a-vis the environment, vis-a-vis the animal. Everything in the world is another expression of the justice which we are required to give to everything in the world which exists. Chepanish, it's not yours. And all the bits are the what are my responsibilities, everything else. Zuck, rehearsed, that's what the Hillel told the Ger. You cannot do anything negative to any other being which exists in this world, just like you shouldn't do for yourself. And the Torah is going to explain what that means, how to do something negative to the animals and to the... That's how he touches it. He says, obviously, of course, we cannot leave this deciding what is really threatening to the well-being of ourselves to the subjective, unclear opinion. So how do you know what it is? Ide perusha. Go figure it out. That's how he touches it. Beautiful touch. Now he said like this.
So that would include Goyim, right?
That would include Goyim. Right. He says, so the mitzvah HaTorecha Kamoicha is a different mitzvah. That's a mitzvah which the people which are here with, that's Reya, that's not Kamoicha, which he's understanding means anybody who is discovered to you, any being which is discovered to you, but that's the people which are going in the same path as you. You're in the same flock. So the Reya is the one who joins your flock. He's the Mira, right? But Chavercha is anyone who's Niskar with you, anybody that you interact with in any way along the way. That's how he understands it. Now, he says like this. If one translates Hillel saying, do that which you do not want others to do to you, refrain from doing to them. And then change his wisdom into clever social precautionary method. People who live in glass houses should not throw stones. If you're not one of the people to do you harm, then you must not do harm to any of them, because force begets force and wrong, wrong. He will suffer no wrong, must do no wrong. Which is like one of these nice social measures. If that is what you teach, then of course, not only have you taught nothing of the contents of the divine Torah, you've taught nothing ethical. Because you only taught calculating cleverness, selfish looking after one's own interests, to the guiding principles of all human actions. You've now made, the whole goal is, I want to be happy, and I really can't be happy unless I'm nice to other people. Right? So everything is calculated, at the end of the day, it's about me. That's ethical. That's godless. That's nothing. So, but that's how people translate Hillel. Right? It says, and that's why, he puts it at the point, it says that, and that's why Badafka, the Pasuk, puts these concepts in the context of the Pasuk of Klein. Now, the Ramban says the Pasuk of Klein, what's the bits of Klein? Let's go back, I marked it off. Half the piece of the Ramban. Okay. It's on the third page over here, the right column. But Tom Klein, like five lines on the bottom, four lines on the bottom. But Tom is five lines. But Klein is four lines. Ki Hashem bore to minim ba'olam b'chol ba'li nefoshes b'tzmachim ba'li nefesh etzanur. The Russian made different species. Those are mekayach atolado. She's kind of minim b'hem la'ad calls manchi yirtza v'yisbarach b'kim ba'olam. Right, and the Russian gave them ability to procreate, that they should continue to exist in this world as long as the Russian was so desires. And then they were given the Russian by putting this kayak of halad into them, that it should be done. The minayim, well, yishtanu adle lom, that's going to continue. I mean, I want this species to continue. If the Russian would, as it were, allow these combinations, the species would actually die out. That's what says Lumine Wusibus Amishka Vishnerbiya Behema Zoom Zulakim Aminim. So we need to bring animals together sometimes to make sure that they procreate. Kishiboy Noshim Noshim Pribri, like we marry. Vamarkar Shaminim, but we take two to a minimum, Shano Makish Mysa Brishis. You're changing the world. Kila Yashal Hishma Kanish Brahma Loma Kala Tsarh. Russian maid is not good enough for you. I want to make new creations. But they don't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't procreate. That what you produce is sterile. Even if they're close enough to go and pray them, if they're not close at all, nothing happens. Even the ones, the mules, which come from a sus and a dog, a horse and a donkey, you curse them, you hem lo yalidu. Because it's your A, it's your attitude of that there's something more which has to be created, and B, it's your that the purpose over here is the Russian wants it to continue, and you're making a day out in a certain sense by doing that. Right? When you do harkava by tzmachim, and improper tzmach harkein, it doesn't work. But yisurim shaytam v'zkor. And that shatzuchlis is kilayim shuba kavel dasrabe. That's talking grafting. So Ramban says we need to respect the meaning of the Russian for the word. This Ramban he's saying it's a concept of machshava. You know, when they were dealing with ethical issues of cloning. So the president made a commission to look at the ethical issues of cloning, and they have different chapters about So one of the chapters was the religious perspective on the issue, and they have over there they have the Muslim perspective, and they have the Jewish perspective, and they have the other religious perspective. They have a different perspective. So the Jewish perspective, they solicited input from Rabbi Tendler, Rabbi Moshe's son-in-law, and from a considerate rabbi, and I think maybe, etc. And the problem is, like, when you look on the issue of cloning, there's very little in the in Torah which talks about it directly. He quotes this Ramban. is one of the considerations. Right? So it's a fascinating thing because the pasuk says, I mean, Milu Hazara to keep Shua. The Hashem gave us a command to fill the world and be kibush it. You know, it's take possession of it. Kibush means literally means to overpower it. It's a war, right? You won the war, so you take the booty. Kibush of the world means that we are commanded to take the resources of the world and use them for our betterment. But the Torah says, yeah, but there's a limit to how far you're supposed to go. But you have to respect certain paths. So if I find the, you know, I say, you know, we figured out how to use electricity. Okay, right? But at some point you're chaperoning with the minimum. You're chaperoning with the what's, how do we know what's correct and what's incorrect? That's hard question to figure out. The Torah gave a clearly defined issue of this, right? How do you apply it? It's very difficult to figure out how to apply it, but I think the point that the verse is saying, that this pasuk specifically is the command of giving the respect and the justice which is due to the minyan. And that's the pasuk of Hafter Echimara. That's mamash the pasuk which is right there. So it's mamash this point that this is the aside for Hillel's concept. That right there next to the concept of Hafter Echimara is, and not only you, but the animals and the plants, you know, it's not Stam the person put a chayk there, but specifically this chayk, which the Rabban says that you set up, that is a certain respect for the person's priest. Okay.